Welcome to Special Sauce, Serious Seeds podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike.
It's not the wand, it's the wizard. That's what people have been telling me since film school, because I wanted to get like the dopest camera and the whatever, and they were like, you know.
I like that. I've never heard that. It's not the wand, it's the wizard.
Exactly, yeah.
We are back with the quietly brilliant Andrew Ray, the creator of the YouTube series Binging with Babbage, which is, Andrew, I have to say, brilliantly, compulsively watchable, which makes it different than a lot of YouTube food videos.
Thank you.
When we last left you were working 80 hours a week, not making a dime, still had your day job, which you didn't hate.
No, not at all. In fact, I loved my day job. Love the people that I work with. Still very close friends with them today.
What changed? Like, how did money start to come in?
Well, I started monetizing. I made the show exactly how I wanted for so long, using huge clips from the movie or TV show, which is kind of a no-no, and using a song called Cream on Chrome by Rat-a-Tat in every episode, which I did not have the rights to use.
So you were a pirate.
But YouTube recognizes that stuff, and it monetized my videos for them. So it's kind of, you know, they were making money off of my videos,
sure,
which made me feel better. But I recognized, okay, I'm at a point now where if I monetize, I can maybe turn this into my job. So I should start doing that. So I switched to some royalty-free music. I made an agreement with a composer named Broke for Free, who is amazing, makes amazing music. And I started using the clip within a clip, the windowed clip that way.
Become your signature.
Yeah.
One of your signatures.
And that way YouTube can't recognize the clip,
right,
and take away my money. But it's also because it is fair use. I just don't want to have,
right,
to fight it. I started monetizing, which basically means letting YouTube put ads on my videos and getting, I think, I can't remember the percentage, some percentage of the ad revenue from those.
It's a tiny percentage, right? When you start out.
I think it's like 45%. I shouldn't say because I really don't know. But
right,
they give us I think they give us a good cut.
Got it.
Yeah.
But you kept your day job.
Yes.
As a visual special effects supervisor.
Yes.
And you're making Binging with Babbage, you start to monetize, and then you explored other avenues of monetization as well, right?
Yes. I started doing integrated sponsorships. I've only done one so far, really, which is with Squarespace. And that's just I was able to sort of organically integrate that by launching a website in concert with that ad saying, go check out the all-new BingingWithBabbage.com. Brought to you by Squarespace, you know, that kind of deal.
This old radio announcer stuff.
Yeah, and I've got a few more of those coming up now because I have the new show coming out, and that's going to be sponsored by Squarespace. The book is another sort of means of monetization.
Right, and then also something called Patreon?
Yes, wow, how could I? Yes, Patreon.
So tell people about Patreon because I didn't even understand that Patreon existed before I met you.
Patreon is what I would call a subscription Kickstarter. It's a crowdfunding platform where fans of creators can commit to contributing a certain dollar amount per month, often with rewards associated with different contribution
outtakes,
levels.
Outtakes, whatever.
It's, so like $5, in the case of my show, $5 gets you access to bonus episodes, behind the scenes, outtakes, stuff like that.
$5 a month.
Yes. $3 a month gets you access to a monthly chat that I have privately with patrons. $10 a month gets you a garlic peeler, one of those silicone garlic peelers, and some special videos, recipe ideas for fresh garlic. And then $20 gets you...
You a date with Andrew.
It gets you... There is actually a patron level that somebody has right now. It's only one slot because I don't have time to do any more than that, but it's the $500 a month level. If you donate for a certain number of months at that level, I will fly out to you and give you and one other person a private cooking lesson.
That's awesome.
And that is what I'm doing in November. I'm flying out to LA to give a private cooking lesson to this gentleman and his wife.
And Patreon has turned out to be surprisingly lucrative, right?
Yes. Right now, I believe I'm at about $11,000 a month from Patreon.
That's so crazy because that is something that has only emerged in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like when I started Serious Seats, there was no Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We needed a Patreon.
Yeah, definitely.
We could have used that guy who's paying you $500 a month. You know,
yeah,
Kenji could have given him cooking lessons. That got you to the point where you were like, maybe I don't need my day job?
Yeah. Those two revenue sources slowly grew. And then I got some, you know, I got the Squarespace deal and I signed with William Morris and I realized, okay, this is the point where I start doing this full time. This is what this is the moment happened back.
Wow. You have people now.
Yeah, I have people.
He's got people, everybody. Serious Eaters, Andrew Ray has people.
As I was building a team, I was like, okay, you know, I've got my lawyer, I've got my agent, and it's time to start making moves. That happened back in May, and I left my job starting June 1st.
And was that scary, or were you feeling pretty comfortable and confident at that point?
It was scary. I mean, it's always going to be scary. I'm not the most organized or business savvy person, so it and so much of my time is consumed by just making the show. So then taking on these new roles of like, you got to do your taxes and you got to, I mean, I was doing my taxes, but you got to do business taxes,
right?
And you have to pay contractors and you have to whatever, the whole new auras of responsibility. So it was a little scary, but this isn't something that most people take away from the show, but a big element of both having made the show and something I hope people take away from the show and from the book is pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. It's something that I started doing right around the time that I started making the show. I was, without wishing to get too dark or I was very depressed. I was an extremely depressed person. There was like a week I couldn't get out of bed and all this stuff.
Oh, that's real depression.
Yeah, it was true depression. And I've always been whatever. And, you know, I started getting help and treating it and addressing it. And since then, I've just been trying to do everything I can to push myself out of my comfort zone. And it's rewarded me the whole way. You know, there have been stumbles, of course. But the point of this story is that, yes, it's scary, but sometimes you got to see if you can swim. You guys jump in the deep end.
And you and I have talked about this because it had happened with me with Serious Siege, which was taking me out of my comfort zone because I am not a technology person at all. But there, you know, you're probably living the what I call the simultaneously terrifying and thrilling moment.
Absolutely. Just 2 days ago, I gave a presentation at Google for Adweek, and that was a stand and deliver style presentation, something I've never done before.
Right.
And that's it, that precise emotion, just thrilling, terrified. But, you know, I hope that the kind of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone that I hope my audience can take away is to try new things in the kitchen. If you haven't cooked, try cooking. That's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
So it's a metaphor, really.
Yeah, exactly.
There are literally hundreds of thousands of hands-only food videos.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating there, right?
No,
probably
not at all.
Millions.
Yeah, there's a huge amount. Yeah.
What made Binging with Babbage stand out? What do you think people why does it resonate with people?
I think that of the hundreds of thousands of hands-only cooking videos out there, I'm sure that a huge number of them are just as good or compelling or, you know, that are quality programming. But I will first and foremost acknowledge the amount of luck that I've experienced. There has been a huge amount of luck. There's also been a lot of strategy, just working with Reddit, using Reddit as a tool to increase exposure, making content that resonated with Redditors, like other stand and stir programs. Probably wouldn't, because
that was your audience magnifier.
Yeah, I was myself a Redditor. I knew what they wanted. I knew what I would want to see as a Redditor. So there was strategy, there was luck, and you know, I have a very hard time complimenting my own things, but I will say that even though it is a hands-only cooking show, its format is unique, and also the pop culture element helps a lot. The pop culture references to movies and TV shows, it gets the asses in the seats, and then I try to keep them there with a quality show.
Yeah. I think it is the combination of pop culture and food.
Yeah.
it is your voice, which is very engaging and it's funny. And you also have a lot of video production chops.
Thank you very much.
Which a lot of people might not see, because gets back to your initial thing about what your job is to make yourself invisible.
Exactly. There's a lot of minute details in the show that I don't think anybody's ever going to notice, but I take a great deal. For instance, I will no fewer than 4 times press and starch my apron every episode. Because I want it to be a very clean black background to highlight the food, any steam that's coming off the food. I don't want any textures to interfere with that. There's a lot of little details like that. There's a little tiny LED light that I took a long time to figure out how to position to light the bar behind me because it was a little bit too dark. I recently repainted my walls white, which maybe the color difference between the way the walls were and are now is that like an off-white to a pure white, indistinguishable. But I wanted to create a lighter.
So you have a vision. You have a strong point of view about what you want. And it is the mark of every successful creative enterprise, you know, whether you're talking about a movie director or Kenji or even me with Sirius Eats. It's like, you have in your head what you want it to be, and even if people think that you're a nut and you're an obsessive, crazy person, it only makes you do it more.
Yes, exactly. that just encourages me. If you think that I'm going, like the one time I had a reporter come over from the Daily Dot to come over and profile me while I was actually making an episode. That was the first thing he focused on. It was that I kept going back to iron my apron. And it was like his apron looked fine.
That's funny. So let's talk about Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers.
Yes.
How did that come about and what's in the book?
Well, Dovetail is a great little publisher in Brooklyn. They make some amazing cookbooks and they're expanding wildly. I think their first year they put out 3 cookbooks and now this year they have like 12 and next year's 25 or something. They're doing incredible stuff. They did some gorgeous photography. We worked together to make some really fabulous recreations of these scenes from these movies. And they reached out when I had maybe 75,000 subscribers.
So early.
Yeah, early adopters, and which I very much appreciate.
Because that's a very small – at this point, there isn't a publishing house in America that wouldn't want a Binging with Babbage book.
Well, my fingers are crossed, but but it's all very exciting. And the book is it has a different name because it is kind of a departure from the
Binging
show.
Yeah.
It's not all rigorously recreated recipes. It is
inspired by
easier versions, more accessible versions, and some things just purely tributes to and inspired by. Yeah, like I think the best example of that is like the French toast from Kramer versus Kramer. You ever see Kramer versus
Sure.
So Dustin Hoffman's just dunking pieces of bread and milk and throwing them in a pan. And you don't want to recreate that.
Right. For the kids right after Meryl Streep leaves him.
Yes. Yes. And he's trying to connect with his son and they're in a rush and he's just like literally just dunking bread and milk and no egg. And at first his son has to remind him, you got to put egg in there. And he's doing it in a mug. So he has to cut it into pieces. And his son's like, I don't want pieces. And he says, all the best restaurants in the world, all the food is in pieces. And so our tribute to that is that it's French toast sticks. It's bourbon French toast sticks. So, you know, there are some things in there that are very accurate recreations, like the pasta aglio olio, the timpano. Both of those recipes are pulled straight from my show. But there are other ones that are just sort of fun and tributes to, you know, if you ever wanted to watch that movie and have that food while you watch it, it's fun.
It's interesting that, you know, you're not thinking like a traditional branding person. It's like, because the book should be called The Binging with Babbage Cookbook, right?
Well, no, The Binging with Babbage Cookbook, when that comes, when it will come, is going to be the crazy, you know, go as deep as you can into the recreation of this.
Had a very different purpose. You had a very different purpose in mind.
Yeah. This is meant to be more of both a cookbook and a coffee table book. It's something to look at and it's something to try things from. So, you know, that's why we went with a different name, because it is very similar but not exactly the same as binging.
And you have the greatest advertising vehicle of all time.
Yes.
To market your book.
Yes.
Your YouTube show.
Exactly.
So every week, 1.5 million, you hold up a copy of the book. Hey, everybody, you know.
I'm trying to get that New York Times bestseller list. Yeah. I want to get on.
That's so great, because you've essentially gotten rid of the gatekeepers that many creative people run into.
Yep.
You know, I did when I was developing radio shows with our special sauce producer, Marty Goldenson, where we were dealing with public radio executives. I've dealt with gatekeepers at magazines and newspapers my whole life. In fact, one of the main reasons I started Serious Eats was I didn't want to deal with gatekeepers anymore.
Yeah.
But you've done it without gatekeepers. You've created this amazing thing, which I think is very inspiring, because it doesn't suck.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good to hear. That's why the Washington Post ran an article recently that said the title of the article was "One Episode at a Time: Binging with Babish is Disrupting the Content Industry," and because they saw me as an example of what the future of content creation and consumption might look like. Just anybody has the means to, and we're pretty much there. If you have a few thousand dollars, you have the means to do what I'm doing right now.
Only if you have your imagination.
Exactly. It's not the wand, it's the wizard. That's what people have been telling me since film school, because I wanted to get like the dopest camera and the whatever. And they were like, you know,
I like that. I've never heard that. It's not the wand, it's the wizard.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a movie that was nominated for an Oscar a few years ago called Tangerine that was shot entirely on iPhones.
Right.
And so you don't, if you have a vision, if you have an idea, you don't need all the fancy tools anymore. You can do it, and you can tell a story. You can make something that people want to see with what you have in your pocket, essentially.
Are you still ironing? Because that's still a lot of ironing.
I still iron every.
You know,
every episode.
When I looked at the book, I actually ironed every page after I read it.
You got to keep them flat. You know.
Yeah, I want them absolutely flat. Not a lot of people could tell that I had ironed it, but it was important to me.
Exactly. That's yes.
So what's next? I mean, you binging with Babish is, you know, at 1.5 million subscribers and growing. The book is out, and then you have another show that you and I have been talking about.
Yeah, I have a new show called Basics with Babish that is going to come out. It's being edited as we speak.
Who's doing the editing?
an editorial house that I trust implicitly.
So that's one thing that has changed.
Yes, because this basically, you know, YouTube channels need to grow up, not out. You can't make more of the same content. You need to make bigger, better content. So this is a multiple camera shoot. This is a shot with better cameras, better lights. I had a crew of people come into my apartment and shoot it. You know, it's too much for me to do on my own.
Right.
This is the part where I start crewing up. And because if I want to make stuff bigger and better, this is, I need to enlist the help of other professionals. And that's coming out very, very soon.
And describe it. Like, what's going to happen on Basics?
It's going to be the same cadence, same, you know, voiceover style, more camera angles. So you're going to be able to more clearly see what's going on. Hopefully some cool motion graphics to help illustrate what's happening. It's also going to be accompanied by a bi-weekly cook-along. So this show is going to come, Basics is going to come out once every other week. So let's say week one is sauces, which it is. The first episode is all about some sauces that are going to help you,
become better cooks no matter what you're cooking.
Exactly. It's shot and edited and presented very much in the same way as binging, which is not this kind of show you would cook along with, because it's rapid pace. It's a barrage of information. So then the following week, I am going to get on Twitch, a live streaming platform that is mostly known for video games, but they're trying to branch out into other arenas. So I'm going to be sort of the cooking end of that. And you can tune in and cook along with me, because I'm going to hop on and make what I made last week on Basics. right there.
Wow.
Live, and you can cook along. And also then the stream is also available afterwards to watch anytime. So if you miss the stream, you can tune in and cook along anytime. You can also, if you're watching me stream, you can type comments. I can see them. I can answer them with my
mouth. It's truly interactive.
Yes.
Media, and it's also truly a product of your wild and vivid imagination.
Thank you. Yes, it is an extension of the interactivity of binging, because that's one of the things that I've always attributed the growth of the show to, is just using the interactivity that I have with my audience. I am very active in the comments. I respond to people's questions, particularly on Reddit, in the YouTube comments, emails, all that. And now this is taking that to a new level.
You have a vision for what you want, and you actually really do want to create a company that is very much in keeping with your creative values.
Yes. The way cooking shows are made and presented and consumed is changing and needs to change. My theory is that all the millennials are growing up. I am right on the tail end of what's defined as a millennial. I just turned 30. I think
wow.
31 is the cutoff or something like that.
It's too bad. I used to be able to trust you, man.
I'm barely a millennial. I'm I'm technically. True millennials are growing up. They're turning 20. They're turning 21. They're graduating college. And they're becoming, you know, grown-ups. And when they were in high school, when they were in college, they were watching these, you know, vloggers and these modern internet personalities that are just overstimulation of information and jokes and colors and whatever. And I'm trying to make the sort of, you know, okay, now you're 22, 23.
You can slow down.
I'm going to still give you the same sort of level of stimulation.
Energy.
And energy, but it's going to be in a more sort of grown-up package. And that's the direction I think entertainment is heading, for that sort of age group, and I want to be right on the bleeding edge of that.
And you told me that you foresee a time when you won't even be in shows that you're creating.
Yeah, I mean, my, you know, lofty ultimate goal is to be, you know, the proprietor of a production company that is building entertainment like this. People who are like-minded and have the same vision and want to expand on what we're doing here. And that's my 5-10 year plan.
That's your mogul goal.
Yeah, mogul goal.
So in the spirit of Reddit, I do want to get to the special sauce all you can answer buffet, but is there anything you want to ask me? This is my AMA.
Okay.
You know, got any questions for me about Serious Eats or Kenji or Daniel or Stella Parks, Brave Tart? You know, just lay them on me.
Can I hang out with Daniel Blood? And no, I'm kidding. what would your advice be? You have built essentially what I'm talking. You've built an empire of modern food information and entertainment. What would your advice be?
My advice is realize that it's not all about you. Just find the most talented, passionate people you can find doing what they do, and watch them take flight.
Yep.
You know, it's like, That's the best piece of advice I could give you. That's the one thing I learned, is that, you know what? It's not all about, you know, it's not all about me anymore.
Yep.
So, all right. It is time for the buffet. So
okay.
Who's at your last supper? No family allowed. Could be people living, dead. Four people.
Anthony Bourdain, probably.
Okay.
My and everyone else's hero.
All right.
Walt Whitman.
I like this. Walt Whitman and Tony Bourdain at the same table is an interesting notion. Keep going. Actresses, authors.
Scarlett Johansson. I'm kidding. Francis Malman.
Francis Malman.
Yeah.
The Argentinian chef.
Yes.
Who uses open fire cooking.
Yes.
And takes it to an unheard of level.
And has made burning food into a phenomenon. And that's, I've always loved burned food. It's been one of my quiet, like,
all right,
ashamed,
so I like this. Yeah. Francis Malman. We can leave it at Francis Malman, Scarlett Johansson, Walt Whitman, and Tony Bourdain. That's kind of an awesome foursome.
I like that. No, that sounds good.
All right. And what are you eating?
All right. If this is my last meal.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be bœuf bourguignon.
Okay.
Because that's my all-time
favorite.
Okay. And hopefully I'd be the one cooking it because it's also my favorite thing to cook.
Okay.
And also I'd love to cook for Bourdain. And,
okay.
But I'd be embarrassed because.
You know, and what would you have dessert? Would you have any side dishes or?
Let's see. I mean, the boeuf bourguignon is kind of okay. Roasted Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
I'm totally in love with, and I shred them. Francis might like this.
Okay.
I shred them and then I put them in a hot oven.
So they're almost Brussels sprouts chips.
They're all burnt as hell to hell, and I love it. And then hit that with some bacon lard on and some chestnuts.
All right, I like it.
And then dessert.
Yeah, I mean.
Got to be something chocolate. I'm a chocolate junkie. Let me think on that.
All right.
It's a dream dessert.
So what do you cook when there's not much in your house to work with?
That's one of my favorite games to play is like, what can I make out of what's in the fridge? And typically there's eggs. So generally, you know, usually a quiche is what it ends up being is because I find some vegetables, I find some eggs, and then I got garlic and whatever. So there's a quiche.
Is it a quiche or a frittata? Because is there a crust?
It depends on how much energy I have that evening. Sometimes a frittata, sometimes just a straight up omelet. Like, you know, obviously that's a great challenge for any home cook is just like, how well can I make an omelet? How picturesque can I make this omelet? A French omelet or a classic diner Western omelet.
Right.
And what else is usually comes out of there? Chicken salad is one of my favorite things in the world. I usually have chicken kicking around and then like any kind of nuts or dried fruit I have. And then, you know, make some mayo out of those eggs and just like.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of guilty pleasures. What guilty pleasures don't I have? Food-wise or just in life?
What?
Food-wise or...
Yeah, food-wise. Yeah, that's for another show,
okay,
Andrew.
All right. Let's see. Guilty pleasure. I mean, boy, when I've had a drink, I like a McDonald's six-piece for sure.
It's a six-piece?
Yeah, or a ten-piece.
A ten-piece?
Let's be real. Let's make it a ten-piece. I mean,
I like it.
I recently did an episode on Chicken McNuggets.
Right.
And, you know, I did everything I could to try and make them. My roommate liked them better than the Chicken than the actual McNuggets.
But you weren't.
They've figured out the apex of McNuggets and French fries. There's no French fry I've ever had better than a McDonald's French fry.
So the most important question is, what sauce do you go with? McNuggets?
I guess my top one would probably be. Sweet chili.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
All right. I like the sweet chili sauce, too.
Followed closely by honey.
Honey?
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's just been declared Andrew Ray Day. What's happening all over the world?
Everybody gets to stay home from work, watch Netflix in their underwear. And then...
Okay. I like this.
Okay. Andrew Ray Day. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, everybody gets a day off work.
Okay.
You get to sleep in, and then you have to cook for your significant other.
Got it.
Have to.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Doesn't matter what it is. Got to make something for your significant other.
All right. I like it. Well, Andrew, there's so many other things, but we have run out of time. But thank you so much for sharing your special sauce with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. Please, everyone, check out Binging with Babbage. It's awesome and gives me hope for hands-only food videos. Check out Andrew's book, Eat What You Watch, a cookbook for movie lovers. Watch out for his new series, Basics with Babbage, and support his endeavors and the endeavors of independent creative types everywhere at Patreon. So long, Serious Eaters. We'll see you next time.